Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Adam Green, who's the co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, dedicated to helping progressive candidates run progressive campaigns and win. He recently finished a stint as interim CEO of Change Congress, a reform group formed by Harvard Professor Lawrence Lessig to reform congressional elections and special interest influence in Congress. And Adam formerly served as the director of strategic campaigns and civic communications for MoveOn.org. Welcome to Background Briefing, Adam Green.
Hey, good to be here, Ian.
And Adam, this manifesto from, I guess it was an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal by the Third Way, this group of largely corporate Wall Street lobbyists, as far as I can tell, they were very critical of Bill de Blasio's and Elizabeth Warren's economic populism. And a lot of course, analysts thought that with the election of Bill de Blasio and indeed of Elizabeth Warren, we are, after all, supposedly in a democracy. So presumably if the people speak via elections, then that means something. So why is that being discounted?
Well, you know, first of all, Third Way is basically a Wall Street-funded corporate front group that purports to give Democrats good political advice and policy advice, but is actually generally giving them very unpopular positions to take and doing so at the behest of their corporate donors. That's kind of the rationale for a lot of this. You know, their argument in this Wall Street Journal op-ed, you know, placed in Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal of all places, was that because Elizabeth Warren is from a blue state and Bill de Blasio is from a blue city, the Democrats should dismiss out of hand their economic populism message. But they actually referenced the state of Colorado as a purple state. And their main line of attack against Elizabeth Warren was that she supports expanding, not cutting Social Security benefits. The thing is, Ian, that we've done polling in Colorado, and by 3-1, Elizabeth Warren's message of expanding Social Security is popular. Also, reforming Wall Street is popular. Taxing the rich is popular in purple, red, and blue states. So basically, you know, what we did in reaction to that op-ed was really publicize the fact that they're funded by Wall Street. And I think the net effect is that a lot of people on Capitol Hill who otherwise might have listened to them know that that's not a very good idea, that they're actually advancing unpopular positions that are the Wall Street positions.
Well, one of the ironies in this country, Adam Green, is that it's taken billionaires to make the point that the growing divide between the rich and the poor and the growing income inequality in this country is bad for America and bad for its future. People like Warren Buffett, Bill Gates' father, etc., have spoken out. And I don't know whether it's a case that only in America we're such slaves to wealth and that we can't figure this out on our own. But I would think that given that the debate has already been engaged about income inequality, isn't it time to start educating the public? And because the minute they figure this out, I think they're going to be on the side of reform and fairness and redistribution.
Yeah, so there's a couple issues there. One unfortunate fact is that both political parties have really been co-opted by big corporations and corporate executives. And that's why so often you see Democrats not addressing these issues of income inequality or advancing economic populism agenda. Right. It's easy to point out that Todd Akin said crazy stuff last cycle on social issues, and all that was true. But sometimes that's used as an excuse by Democrats to not have to take on the truly powerful Wall Street and other corporate interests. But what Elizabeth Warren proves consistently over and over again is that that's what inspires people. And unfortunately, what the Tea Party showed was that if Democrats fail to embrace the economic populism message, the Tea Party will jump into that void and kind of funnel that populism in the wrong direction, getting people to vote against their own interests, but only because the Tea Party is, the only one addressing those populist needs. So, our message to Democrats is if you want to win big in 2014, if you want to win big in 2016, and P.S., if you want to help millions and millions of people, let's start following Elizabeth Warren's lead. Consider her the North Star that we're marching towards every single day, and that's the way forward. you know, there's one other point that's worth mentioning, which is that, you know, billionaires aren't the only ones advancing that message. There's groups like ours, which have about a million grassroots activists. Others like Howard Dean's Democracy for America and Russ Feingold's Progressives United, MoveOn.org, where I used to work, that are also really attempting to mobilize the grassroots around this fight. But you're right, it is an uphill battle because there's so much co-option by the big guys in our political system.
And isn't there a sort of pattern, though, with the Democrats is that they usually run their campaigns are usually dictated more by how much the other side screws up rather than by how much they inspire their voters to come out and vote for them?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. And it's something that actually the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, boldprogressives.org, is attempting to solve. So one of our goals is to get as many progressive Democrats to really campaign on offense this election cycle, to inspire voters and educate voters, frankly, about new ideas. And I'll tell you just a quick little story. You know, in June of this year, a bunch of grassroots organizations that are progressive sat down together at a conference called Netroots Nation, and we made a concerted decision that we were going to stop playing defense on Social Security, because as you know, even the White House proposed cutting Social Security benefits. And we thought that the best defense was a strong offense, and we were going to go on offense and advance this idea of expanding Social Security benefits. And there were these two bills in the Senate, one by Tom Harkin from the rural state of Iowa, and one from Mark Begich from the red state of Alaska, that would expand benefits, but nobody was talking about. And our goal was that by the end of the year, we would make this idea credible. And in 2014, we wanted candidates to campaign on it. You know, then in 2015, we'll start a serious legislative strategy. And, you know, through a lot of hard work, and working with our partners like Elizabeth Warren and Sherrod Brown in the Senate, we've managed to make this, you know, front page news in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and get this on national TV. And now a lot of the political debate is actually about whether we should expand Social Security or cut it, not just should we do nothing or cut it. So that, you know, I think that speaks to your point about, you know, are we only relying on people to screw up? You know, that has been the template in the past, but our hope is that this cycle will start breaking away from that.
And again, I'm speaking with Adam Green, who's the co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, dedicated to helping progressive candidates run progressive campaigns and win. He recently finished a stint as interim CEO of Change Congress, a reform group formed by Harvard professor Lawrence Lessig to reform congressional elections and special interest influence on Congress. And Adam formerly served as director of strategic campaigns and civic communications for MoveOn.org. So is there, though, I mean, a lot of people rationalize the sort of centrist DLC mantra of the Democratic Party by suggesting that America really is a centrist country and that there is no traction on the left. And they cite the examples of McGovern's blowout defeat to Nixon in 72, Reagan's defeat of Mondale and of a very beatable George Bush Sr.'s defeat of Dukakis. So what is your argument against that kind of note of caution that the centrist Democrats keep referring to?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things going on here. So one, you know, there's always a question of which issues are dominating the news, which issues are most in the public consciousness. And, you know, in eras where, say, national security trumped economic issues, you know, that's where Republicans really attempted to kind of, assert, strength and assert that Democrats were weak and win on those messages. But really, since the Wall Street collapse, economic populism and, you know, basically the little guy's struggle in our economy has been front and center. And again, even when the Tea Party kicked off, they had a twofold message. One was anti-government. The other was anti-Wall Street. Right? The millionaires basically funded the buses to Tea Party rallies, and surprise, surprise, those buses led to protests of Congress instead of protests to Wall Street. But even then, the hunger was there. And, you know, we've been doing polling state by state. Again, red states like Texas and Kentucky, purple states like Colorado and Iowa. And this idea of expanding Social Security benefits is popular by 3-1 in Texas, 2-1 in Kentucky, of all places. And in the swing state of Iowa, 2-1 there. So, it's really a question of, at this point, do Democrats get it? Do Democrats recognize the moment that we're living in, that everyday people are crying out for somebody to be willing to hold powerful people accountable and to be willing to really go to bat for little guy. And if they do, you know, my prediction is that, you know, we would have a Democratic tidal wave in 2016, and even starting in 2014, if Democrats, you know, bucked their own corporate donors and went in this direction. And the only thing that I think can mess Democrats up in these next two election cycles is really shooting ourselves in the, you know, in our own feet by not embracing this economic populism message. And I think the fact that Elizabeth Warren had, you know, the most grassroots fundraising and was one of the biggest upsets of 2012 shows the political opportunity that is there for Democrats to choose to seize this mantle.
So, Adam, in terms of the press, and some a lot of people think that the mainstream press, corporate press, is simply hostile to working Americans and anybody on the left. And then there's the other argument that it's up to political groups to figure out how to use the press to their advantage. And you've just pointed out how the billionaires who funded the Tea Party very cleverly framed it and funded it and got it on the news. And after all, this minority of the far right of the Republican Party, for a while there, seemed to be, you know, dictating the entire nation's political future. Until they crashed and burned. For example, what's happening now in Detroit is an absolute disgrace, and it's an unnecessary bankruptcy imposed by a partisan Republican governor who self-appointed hitman has been put into Detroit, which is a Democratic city, to basically force it into bankruptcy. And now the U.S. bankruptcy judge has halted the proceedings because it turns out that the mayor who's in jail and his top business guy who made all of these complicated derivatives and swap deals with Wall Street just before the crash is the main reason why the city is broke. And the governor's flunky or hitman who comes from a law firm that specializes in bankruptcy, he is planning on paying out the same banks who brought about the bankruptcy 82 cents on the dollars while paying out the pensioners, the firemen, the police, and city workers 16 cents on the dollars for a crash that, one, is the bankruptcy itself is unnecessary, and two, it was caused by Wall Street, not by bloated public pensions, which are only $19,000 a year. To me, that is a real sort of example of the obscenity of this income inequality and the power of Wall Street over Main Street.
Yeah, that's a great point. This is one of the definitely one of the under-discussed issues of our time, which is the idea that, you know, you can't break your contract with the very wealthy, and that extended to Wall Street too. When during the crisis, the meltdown, you know, the idea of cutting CEO bonuses was just anathema because they have a contract, but for some reason, you know, labor union contracts, pension contracts, things that help millions of people just have the ability to live in their retirement, for some reason, you know, those can get pennies on the dollar, and you can break the law. It's really unfortunate, and it isn't even an object of debate. It's great that you just brought it up, but, you know, people aren't debating this on the Senate floor right now. You know, hopefully that will change over the next couple of years, you know, as we have Elizabeth Warren and other people like Elizabeth Warren, Sherrod Brown, Jack Merkley, Brian Schatz, and other progressive senators. But to your other point, you know, previously about, you know, the media, I thought that was also a really interesting question because, you know, on the one hand, I don't want to give, you know, what you call the corporate media a pass by saying it's not their fault. You know, part of this is their fault, whether it's outward, bad motives or even more likely just kind of being in a bubble and being, not in the loop on the struggles everyday Americans are facing. Yeah, they have a responsibility to do better. And I would call out David Gregory from Meet the Press as one of the, you know, really worst actors in terms of consistently just saying as a fact that we need to cut Social Security and just really not knowing the math behind the program right. for the proposals on the table.
Sure. Well, Adam, don't you remember the second presidential debate with Obama, where the moderator from ABC, Martha Raddatz, started out by saying, well, we know that Social Security is going bankrupt, which is a total lie. I mean, that was the framing of the question. You know, by the way, I forgot to mention talking about Detroit, the guy that made the sweetheart deal, the city official that made the sweetheart deal with the Wall Street banks, which is the main reason the city's gone bankrupt, and is that he then ends up working for one of these banks. I mean, hello. It's just an outrage. You know, I want to see more of the truth about, you know, this mechanism of income equality and why it's happening. And you got one family, the Waltons, who control the equivalent of the entire wealth of 40% of all Americans. I mean, it's, you know, anyway, unfortunately, I shouldn't be talking. You should be talking. And I'm sorry to go on about it, but I find it really disgraceful. And I'm grateful for you for the work that you do, Adam Green.
No, I like your passion. And also, you know, it's really important that, you know, people like you are there helping this message to break through. And everything you say, I totally agree with, you know, about these issues. You know, the one thing I would add, you know, I want to give people hope. It's not just a bleary world where we have no hope. You know, I think that, you know, in addition to the, you know, corporate media needs to do a better job, you know, there is a template for success for progressives, breaking into the media and changing the narrative. And I think this Social Security expansion debate is really key to look at. It's kind of like a model.
Right.
Basically, you know, we do our best work when we have strong partners on the inside, not just allies, actual partners, people who plan strategy with us. And Elizabeth Warren, you know, because, you know, it's just in her nature. She understands the importance of, you know, how a national grassroots movement can help her do her job better. And she helps us do our job better.
Well, Adam, I thank you so much. I'm afraid we ran out of time, but I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Ian. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with Adam Green, the co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee. He is formerly with the CEO of Change Congress and served as Director of Strategic Campaigns and Civil Communications for MoveOn.org. We're going to take a brief station break and be joined in the studio by a Syrian doctor who will give us an update on the hideous conditions in her country.